Check, check, 1, 2. Check, 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 check. Do, 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 do. Hi, everybody. Nice to see you. Good to be seen. My name is Dean. Here we go again. Joining me on the program today. Let's get to it. Let's just get to all the gifts in the shop window. Please welcome our new intern here at Cryer of the Manternship, because this is a manternship. Please welcome Lachlan Cross. At Lachlan Cross on Twitter is where you can find him.
Hey, I'm wearing your favorite
contractor. And now with a brand new schedule. Are you liking your new schedule as a self-employed individual now that you no longer work collectively on the radio? Are you enjoying it?
I actually am. I'm grateful once again for you giving me a place to do my thing. So I appreciate that. But I think the new schedule is appealing to me. I'm getting up, not at like a weird time.
Right. Yeah. Like, well, just think about it. How long have you been doing mornings?
My wife.
Oh, what? You're going to bed at the same time with your wife?
Yes. This is awesome.
Right? You can do some things, read a book together, maybe have a chat about the way your day went. Like, you're not asleep 2 hours before her.
I like to do some stretching in bed, you know, hamstrings.
I think this is going to be great for your marriage.
By the way, can we talk about... Great. I'm home all the time. What could go wrong?
No, I'm saying you guys are going to, you know, you go to bed at the same time, you're going to connect a little bit more. You're gonna chat a little bit more.
Can we talk about
a little bit more? You know what I'm saying?
Can we talk about what connect? You look like a bag of smashed assholes. What's wrong with you today?
Oh, it's just unbelievable. I got allergies. Yeah, and I left my glasses at a meeting yesterday. I can't see for shit. I can't literally. I can't see anything. So, like my eyes are all messed up. Allergies, allergy season, because spring is here early, because everybody's like, climate change isn't a big deal. Don't worry about it. Listen, and I really struggle with climate change because it's been like 13 degrees in Toronto for the past month. And I'm like, I don't mind burning plastics. This isn't so bad. It's like supposed to be deathly cold. And I'm really like, literally, I've been wearing sandals for a month. So, anyway,
you don't
what
look
comes
healthy.
With that is I got allergies. No, I don't. I look very
okay,
washed
all right,
out. Very
all
sick.
Right, good.
I look sickly, if you will. How's that? Is that better? Do I look a little bit better?
No, that's worse.
Add another ring light to the situation. Anyway, let's get to it.
You look like if they were looking for like an albino for a movie in Toronto.
Yeah, I'd be the guy. Like a remake of Powder. I'm incredibly white, and I'm really white right now, and I don't have my glasses to separate all the whiteness in my face, and it's like everything blends together because my hair is white, and folks, you can have a look at this beautifulness on YouTube, Cryer Media YouTube channel. You can also get a Dean Blundell YouTube channel, but yeah, it's like I look like I've got two eyes, and I'm just hiding in the snow.
My problem when I take my glasses off is my eyes are really close together. So it's not a good look for old Locke.
I haven't seen you without your glasses on. You look like an idiot. Hey, that's awesome.
Locke could live in any province. Only lives in Alberta. Me and my cousin Jebediah.
You and your
we're
cousin
gonna
Moose.
Get drunk and shoot at each other on the weekend.
Speaking of which. Can I just bring this to your attention? You remember Alberta Moose, the dude from Grand Prairie that was like, the Chinese are coming and you better figure it out right now because Trudeau's a MF. Remember that guy? Remember the dude, Moose from Alberta?
I like beard. Moose.
I know you do. I do too. And I've gone from like fighting this culture to wanting to have like an afternoon beer with everybody in this culture. Like everybody that thinks
that's
that
me.
China's
that's what I told
to
you
world.
You should be doing.
I know.
Get an
I want to
understanding of this side, right?
I know. I want to dig into the culture instead of fight it. I need to understand.
Let's do this then.
What?
Here's an open invite to Grand Prairie Moose, or what does he call himself?
Moose. Just Moose.
Moose. Here's Moose. An Moose. Open invite to Moose.
To anybody. Anybody that
send
believes
me a note.
That, like,
I'll give you
China's-
my address. You can come over for dinner.
Dinner with a freedomer. I think that's a great way to break down barriers. I think that we're talking about lowering the barrier to entry to having people be friends in this country in a mass divide, this chasm that's been created by disinformation and misinformation and hillbillies and Pierre Polyev and guys talking about serial killer skating rinks. We'll get to that another day. I think it would be a really good idea to do a series where you take people like you and me, you know, normal everyday people that enjoy lighthearted conversations about the origin of how people got to their belief system, like Moose. So if you remember Moose, who attacked Chrystia Freeland, remember that, where he attacked her in Grand Prairie? He's like, Chrystia Freeland, what the fuck you doing here? Get out of the press. Remember that guy?
Yeah.
Remember that dude? Okay. So, like, I'm not mad at the guy. I need to understand.
That was a little too aggressive.
Some would say.
Yeah.
Some would say that was aggressive, but I need to understand where these guys come from, because I need to know what goes into making this individual. Here's Moose. He released another video, no longer in trouble with the government, apparently, trying to tell everybody in Alberta, Lachlan, that you people need to wake up. Wake up, because the Chinese military, which, big if true, is currently amassing troops in Alberta, and they're going to take over the country with Trudeau and the government. I'm just the messenger. Moose is the guy that wants you to know.
We're to the point where we're going to lose this country. And the further this government gets entrenched, the worse it's going to be for us, guys. Because everything you're hearing and seeing is 100% true. We have military troops on this country right now. China's involved in that. And they're waiting. They're training right now, guys. As we sit... The freedom community sits and fights and bickers back and forth and wastes his time doing shit that doesn't mean nothing.
I don't know if you missed that part. He's upset that the freedom movement wastes his time to do shit that don't do nothing. So that's probably an issue.
Losing our rights. We're going to lose this country if we don't get together and stand up against these tyrants.
Wait till the end till you ascertain what problems Moose has.
Okay.
Because there's more problems coming. You can't diagnose him till he's done. Hang on.
Where are these bastards?
I know where he's going.
Well, no, you don't, because you're going to get a view of his driveway that you never thought was possible.
I'll never pay a fucking tax again. And it's our obligation not to pay taxes when the taxes are being used for tyranny. Destroy the country, destroy the children, destroy the people, destroy everything that we once knew. Even though we lived under tyranny since we were born. It's time to wake up, people. Put your effort into something that's concrete, that's going to work.
What is that?
And love one another. Love your neighbor, love your family. And be prepared. Expect the worst, hope for the best. And the only way we're going to get the best, guys, is unification, man. I keep saying that. If we don't unify, it's going to be, you know, small groups on their own. And these guys are going to be so well set up.
Going to get you.
With these troops and stuff. They might roll down my driveway here. Show the driveway, babe.
Get a load of the driveway, babe.
60-foot driveway. If I know they're coming, I got a good German Shepherd here. If I know they're coming... He barks.
He's on guard.
If I know they're coming.
So
I can't be mad at that guy. I need to know how he got there. Like, that is awesome. He thinks the Chinese is amassing troops in Alberta.
It's not.
Might make his way down the driveway. Hang on. And he wanted to show people that driveway that's 50 feet long. He's anybody that might be Chinese and coming into his driveway that he's got a dog.
So,
and guess what that dog will do? He barks, dude.
Do you know how he got to the Chinese thing? The Chinese thing is based on the conversation around their police forces.
Whatever.
Right? So, sure. And that's actually true. And... then the other thing is, too, he's probably
there's a new shit we'd have to do. We're talking about, like, Chinese police stations in Canada, which is a problem.
Yes.
Chinese. But it's not what he's talking about. He's talking about a takeover of the
country.
But
it's not
Chinese
that far of a jump. If they've got if they're policing their own citizens and they've got people spying on each other, it's not that far of a jump for
it's a big jump
for Moose to go. The Chinese military is already here. They've all already taken up arms in our country. Right.
Come on.
I don't know. Maybe we should send Moose that immigrate to Russia plan.
I want to meet with this guy. I'm not even mad at him. I think he's like the fabric of Canadiana right now. Like, we're going to look back at this time and go, remember Moose? Remember how he got to this place? Were you so paranoid? He was like, honey,
well,
you got to do a video of me right now because the Chinese are coming and they might get into the driveway. Oh,
I get it.
You got a dog too. The Chinese are not coming anywhere near you either. You get it? You get this guy? I don't get it. I don't get any of it.
I understand.
I want to have a coffee with him.
I understand why people get to a point of being dissatisfied with the government. Okay? That makes sense to me. I understand that. Now, it's not that far down the rabbit hole to get to where Moose is if everything in your life is going wrong, right? it isn't. And if you're maybe...
Well, you could tell in his discussion, he's like, and by the way, I'm not paying taxes ever again. I'm like...
There's a lot of those guys that aren't paying taxes. And that's another level... And I told you about that guy that wanted me to join this
libertarian group.
Yeah. I'm not going to mention his name, but he got a hold of me and sent me a note, and he's starting a show and he wanted me to be a guest on it. And the whole point of the show was, and then he told me what organization he was from. And cause I said to him, I said, I need to figure out why I recognize your name. And he paused and he said, well, I'm a member of this, blah, blah, blah. But it's very misunderstood by the government. And I just went, hey, listen, thank you for thinking about me.
I love those guys who get you to join their group and just, hey, listen, I just want you to know, it's all our reputation has been a misunderstanding with the government.
No one understands us. So that's why I've spent some time in jail.
Yeah. Yeah. I listen, the words just came out wrong and my hands were just moving. No big deal, right? It was just an accident. It's misunderstood. Anyway, fascinating because he still got that going on, but we've got these other protests. And I don't know if I'm tired of protests. Are you watching Karima's protest stuff?
Yeah.
You seen any of it? She's covering it's like this perpetual Gaza Israel rally. It doesn't stop, it doesn't end.
Yeah.
I've got a couple of so do I. I want to get to this real quick because I know everybody can speak their piece and interrupt things and tell you and introduce alternative realities, but this Israel-Gaza thing is just too much for me. I think it's crazy now. And it's crazy because it affects the way of life in this country, too. And not only that, and listen, am I unhappy when political institutions get disrupted? No. I think it's awesome.
You're very anti-protest, though, I've noticed.
Huge,
it makes you angry.
Yeah, it pisses me off because it's like people are trying to go about their business and they can't. They can't get home. They can't get to work. They can't get to see their families. People are blocking massive intersections in Toronto. Israel, Gaza, I get it, but that's over there and this is over here. And people will call me unfeeling, but I just don't have the bandwidth to give a shit about something that has nothing to do with me. And a lot of these people are paid, but I wanted to point this out because it's like enough. We've seen protests for 3 fucking years. Nobody cares anymore. Like, all you're doing is disrupting life for other people, including yourself. And if you go with the bad, what's bad for the bee is bad for the hive shit, or bad for the hive is bad for the bee shit. Mm-hmm. This is just everybody's just exhausted by it. But this is a rally. It's like kind of some political liberal fundraiser that happened the other day. Kareem is there. I want you to pay special attention to how angry these millennials are over something that they're being paid to do. Watch this.
Don't touch my wife. I don't give a shit. You don't touch my fucking wife.
Don't touch me. Your hands on me. You got that?
Unbelievable.
Who is that? I don't know who that is, Dean.
I don't know. This is some liberal dude that was in town for a liberal fundraiser, and the Gaza is real people. Traditionally, it's the Gaza supporters that are trying to disrupt like every and any single get together of any political fundraiser, but most of the fundraisers that they target are liberal fundraisers, which is fascinating because if you kind of know anything about the region and the conflict, it's like, man, oh man, like, you know, you the people are reacting to what's going on with Israel and Gaza, and sure, you know, the imagery and some of the bullshit that's coming out of that region is just awful to watch. Like, it's awful to watch, and so they take that imagery and then they'll go and revisit this, you know, desire to have a ceasefire in the Middle East. And they're literally like canceled. These are the Gaza Israel people. They canceled, you know, the Italian prime minister who was in Toronto. They canceled her appearance and two of Trudeau's.
Because of this.
Because they didn't walk around screaming genocide. They're stopping traffic. And it was weird because it was 2 weeks ago. I was downtown at a meeting. And I was trying to make my way from a meeting. It was at Yonge and Bay. No, it was at Bay and Bloor. So trying to make my way from a meeting on you know, a couple to Bloor and Mount Pleasant. So I'm trying to walk, and all of a sudden you can hear the boom, 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 and you see people walking down the street. And then you see all these people with Palestinian flags. And then you see people's because construction in that area is insane. Stollery's is this big area that's being constructed. They ran out of money, so they're not doing it. So you had people climbing scaffolding, talking about stopping traffic for Gaza. You got to people need to pay attention to what's going on in Gaza. And while I understand that a lot of people have family back there, while I understand that a lot of people that have come from the Middle East and other war-torn countries, dictatorial, religious dictatorships, that kind of stuff, to enjoy the freedom to be able to do that in this country, they don't give a fuck about you. They don't give a shit about you. They don't give a shit about stopping you from getting to work, earning money for your family, getting home to feed your children, making it to a chemo appointment. They don't care. They don't fucking care. So when I look at this kind of stuff, and I watch these people, and they're all millennials, hiding their faces, recording each other, and demanding, like, the dude, and this is the thing. These people are recording everybody, causing a disturbance, trying to get everybody to get on side with them. And then they're in Karima. These are Karima's videos. Karima and Lee are doing this. And she's been incredible. I asked her the other day, I'm like, are you not tired of this? She was exhausted. This is just exhaustion. You've got two people from two groups from two different countries making dick jokes at each other across the street. You're not circumcised. You're disgusting. You have small balls. Like, it's just fucking unbelievable. Grown ass adults doing this. But to Karima's point, she's like, these are the biggest hypocrites in the world. Everybody involved, biggest hypocrites in the world. And I want you to watch. These people are stumping for peace by preventing people from actually doing the business of life. And then they're like, you can't record me doing this. Watch this. So these fucking idiots are causing a scene and people are recording it. And then they're yelling and screaming that you don't have a right to record us, recording ourselves, making fools of ourselves and causing a disturbance. It's awesome to watch. Just incredible.
Well,
fun to watch.
For me, I want to just say something I know about you. I know you actually care about this stuff. I think your exhaustion is probably tied more to the futility of the discussion, right?
It's pointless.
And it gets you to a point where you think you don't care. I think we all care. I am so bothered by what's happening in the Middle East right now, but there's no way of being on the right side of it, right? Like,
no.
So, but let's deal with, because I know you care, because I know you care. We have Alex on there. You do care.
Yeah. No, I care about, no. I care about the innocent civilians, right?
Yes.
All the tapestry and around it, all the bullshit, all the dramaticism, all the PR, because that's what this is, right? I don't care about any of those people. I care about none of them.
Here's my conflict with the protests, right?
They're idiots. Wasting time. Like, who has that kind of fucking time?
Well, no, here's my issue.
For months.
I I feel proud about the fact that we live in a country where you can actually protest. Okay. And I agree with your ability to, if you feel passionate enough about something, I think you should be allowed to protest and get on a stump and say your piece. But my issue with it is, if you're making somebody else's, and this is where you and I see eye to eye, if you're interrupting somebody else's ability to live their lives, whether it's a convoy, whether it's a protest downtown, whether it's a blocking a bridge because you're upset that climate change is happening, whatever that is, whatever that protest is, should not impede on my ability to go about my day-to-day life. Correct. And I think that's the difficult part here for me. If you're blocking traffic downtown Toronto, or you've got a convoy on the Anthony Henday here in Edmonton, and nobody can move, you're not endearing yourself. You're not endearing anybody to your cause, and you're just you're causing this reaction that Dean had, where he goes, "I don't care about what you're doing," but we all do care about what you're doing because something needs to be done, and I understand that that's the country that we live in. I just wish, and you can't really put rules on protests, right? Like, can you?
Like we did with the Charter of Rights and Freedoms, is it your freedom to do that? Your freedom to protest ends at your freedom to do that if it impinges my freedom to enjoy my life and go about my business. It's called reasonable limitations. It's like the very first sentence in the Charter of fucking Rights and Freedoms in Canada. And we motored right past that through the convoy. So do I have fatigue and PTSD from protests? Maybe. Maybe I'm just tired of all of them. Maybe I just see the pointless people getting together going, let's yell and scream for a couple days and see what happens. Because, like, listen, nothing happens. All you do is piss people off, right? Will you have some people that'll get attached to imagery that you carry around with you in placards? And, you know, will you be able to assume some kind of religious identity with certain groups and people to be able to bring them into your movement? Sure, maybe a couple of people. But generally speaking, Locke, you're 100% right. And it is super simple. You catch more flies with honey than turds. And so all these people are shoveling turds at the civilized society.
I still think you should be allowed to protest.
Totally. I don't like them, but that doesn't mean they shouldn't be allowed. My opinion is very different. And it's curated by the fact that chaos to me is just ridiculous. Like, we got to have rules and regulations around protesting, but we don't seem to be able to, like, a 3-week protest. Couple of years ago in February, remember that? It was like, not a big deal. This protest.
Well, now they're dealing with how they ended
3 months since October 7th, right?
But now they're dealing with you know, the ramifications of how the government dealt with it, which may not have been right. And I'm not saying that Ottawa citizens weren't being, like, psychologically impacted. I'm saying, did they do the right thing? Maybe not. I also think that the convoyers shouldn't have held an entire city hostage. Right. So I'm torn. I'm very conflicted. I got way more time on my hands. I'm very upset about the beer tax, liquor tax going up.
Yeah. Like,
maybe I'll start protesting that. And I don't want you being upset at me if I'm down, you know, at City Hall with a placard.
Yeah. Well, that's another thing people are going to have to deal with, is you've got this big tax that's going on. We're in distraction season, right? Where everybody's going to take these little issues and they're going to tell you what you should or do and whose fault protests are. But the beer tax is a big one. The liquor tax, the excise tax is going up. Are you aware of this?
Yes, I'm a big drinker,
as someone who.
Here's the history of that. So are you aware of when that started?
No, I'm not. Fill me in. Give me some beer, excise, the liquor tax education.
The April 1st liquor tax increase that happens every year is tied to the rate of inflation. And the rate of inflation was a record increase last year. So what they do is they take a look at the past inflation rate, the increase in inflation in 2023, and they go, all right, 4.5%. That's the increase on liquor tax across the board. Now, the history of that is it was brought in by Trudeau. And it was very quietly pushed through right after they announced the legalization of marijuana, nice. Of weed.
Yeah.
And so no one was really paying attention to it. And I'll tell you what government loves. And this is why I have a problem with government as a whole, because both sides do this.
Government as
they love taxes that are put in place to protect everyone.
Yeah.
Right.
Cause then they can sell it to you. Right.
Yeah. Well, then they can sell it to you.
It's for you.
At the end of the day, what it is they go, what, you have a problem with the liquor tax? So you want everyone to drink themselves to death? They do the same thing with the carbon tax. So you have a problem with the carbon tax? So you want the entire planet, country and the world to burn on, like, light on fire. So they love those taxes because it makes them all high and mighty. And that's all this tax is. And you know what? And then they go, we can't do anything about it. It's a law. We have to push it through. There's nothing we can do about it. So you're just going to have to suck on it. So what ends up happening is these taxes go, and then there's always the unintended consequences of it. Right now, your restaurant industry is in a lot of trouble because of, you know, that what's happened in the last couple of years, and restaurants and bars and whatnot are shutting down record numbers. And
people are ordering. The economy's changed totally. As always, the Dean Blundell Show is brought to you by our friends at factcheck.io. Factcheck.io. Do you believe? The good people at FactCheck are a quorum of software professionals, psychological professionals, journalists that have been very busy building some software so that you can fact check anything that you read. It doesn't matter if it's got a URL, you'll be able to fact check it. Alternative sources, origins, whether or not it was an organic or inorganic campaign, whether or not you can trust the people that are putting out the information, and alternative sources. And there's going to be a weapon button too, where you can turn that information around and put it back out there accurately to combat disinformation. The good people at factcheck.io are right now testing their beta version of their free program. Yes, it will be free for anybody who wants to use it. They want to battle disinformation because it is a problem. Go to factcheck.io today, FACTCHEK.io, FACTCHEK.io. The world's most robust fact-checking disinformation software for news, social media, video, print, anything spoken word. These people are on the tip. And they use some of the finest software technology to be able to give you the advantage when it comes to getting agency back in your life, when it comes to information that you read. Go to factcheck.io today for more information. Sign up for the beta test, FACTCHEK.io. The Dean Blundell Show is brought to you by factcheck.io. Factcheck.io, makers of the world's most comprehensive fact-checking software, that have been very busy building some software so that you can fact check anything that you read. It doesn't matter if it's got a URL, you'll be able to fact check it. Alternative sources, origins, whether or not it was an organic or inorganic campaign, whether or not you can trust the people that are putting out the information so that you can give yourself agency over information in the age of disinformation. Again, want to beta test their product? They're going to launch it in the next month or two. Go to factcheck.io today, FACTCHEK.io. Back to the show.
Yeah. So, and when, you know, if the cost of our food and beverages at restaurants and bars is going to go up, what's everyone going to do? Like, what am I going to do? My situation's recently changed. The first thing I'm going to start doing is stop paying my mortgage so I can continue to go out and get drunk. I got to have my priorities, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You do. But the tax isn't that much. Now, listen, as a principal, you're 100% right.
That's exactly what liberals say. Now, the tax isn't very much.
No, right? I know. And I get it.
What if this was a weed tax there, California sober?
Whatever. Like, I'd be fine with it.
You'd be joining me at the parliament.
No, I wouldn't.
Yes, you would.
No, I wouldn't. Let me explain that to you. luxury items exist for a reason. Alcohol is a luxury item. Cannabis is a luxury item. Those are luxury items you can get at retail stores, right? They're called sin items. And so the government feels like they can attach a sin tax to these items, right? That's what they call them, sin tax. It's like, oh, these are bad for you. And to your point, they use that to do two things, right? To lord their elitism over people that love to smoke and drink.
Yeah.
But also there's a reason for it. Do you know what the reason for that is? You know why they do that? Is because alcohol and tobacco medical costs in this country are the biggest, right? Where people are like, hey, we need to head this off at the pass when it comes to your health for reasons that are good for you. So they come out with alcohol guidelines and people that have been drinking like fish for years ago.
You know what? Yeah.
Get all upset by it. It's not.
They
it's,
like
you
taxes.
Take, no, but you take Dean. These things as, oh, I get it, dude. I'm agreeing with you, but you don't, every drinker takes this tax personally, right? Smoking tax personally, but we've taxed the dick off of smokers for the past like 15 years. A pack of smokes is $30. It used to be two, 15, 20 years ago. $2 for a pack of smokes.
I remember paying $4 for a pack of cigarettes.
Yeah, but nobody's complaining about it anymore is my point, right? Nobody's going.
You don't know many smokers.
No, because we've taxed them like right into not smoking. It works. It totally fucking works.
There's also a 100% works. Tipping point. And it's, you know what? I get the conversation around cigarettes and the taxes there and the cost to the. But I have a feeling that it's going to have an adverse impact on the economy and on culture in Canada. As we increase the cost of living and we make it more difficult for people to live day by day, Dean, I think we're just doing more and more damage to society. And what happens if you're causing more strife in people's lives? They go towards those things, right? So I think there's a point where we're causing damage. We're making life more difficult, and people are seeking out these things and they're abusing them more. So listen, I'm not suggesting that we decrease it by 50% so that everyone can get their booze on, but I think there's a point where in January, when the inflation rate is 4.5, you're watching people not be able to pay off the loans they took during COVID to keep their businesses alive, and they're shutting down. Mm-hmm. A lot of restaurants are shutting down across. And then I think the government at some point needs to go, let's not do that 4.5% tax this year. Let's give everybody a break, right?
Yeah.
And the liberals, if we're being honest with ourselves, they might need a little bit of good PR.
Might go a long
just
way.
Just based on how things have been going lately. And you know what? The conversation I can't stand when you're talking to political figures is, can't do anything about it. Yeah. No, you can, because you put it in and you could stop it.
You can figure it out. Yeah. Things that would motivate anybody, and this is the thing that I come back to all the time. Like, we see these distractions. This is a distraction. Like, telling everybody the beer excise tax that's going up is going to bankrupt you is a distraction. You're right. And I see these distractions because a guy like you, right, you performatively, you're pissed off. I get it. Because someone's telling you that, you know, part of your routine is going to become more expensive, right? But let's get to it. Let's just give people the details. Conservatives are selling everybody on the idea that your beer is going up 4.7%. April 1st, 2023, the beer tax, the excise tax on beer over 2.5% alcohol by volume was $35.52 per hectoliter. It's going to require some explaining. April 1st, 2024, this year, the tax means that case of beer is going to go up a couple bucks. That's it, $2. A hectoliter is 100 liters. The average can of beer is 355 milliliters, which means there are 281.7 beers per hectoliter. The excise tax was 12.6 cents on a 355 milliliter can, so it's going up to 13.2 cents. So from 12.6 to 13.2 is 0.6 cents. Pretty good math, not bad. Beer producers, retailers, and pubs are pushing this as a disaster, saying They plan to increase their prices significantly April 1st and blame the government. None of the proponents against this excise automatic index to inflation, right? None of the proponents against this excise tax will show the math on how much tax is going up in real terms. So this, these are the real numbers. And what pubs and retailers of alcohol are telling people in all of their propaganda or their advertising is, hey, listen, the government's coming for us. The government is instituting a 0.6 cents per 355 milliliter can increase in your excise tax. So
the problem is, Dean, they've been going, this has been going up now for years.
You, I know that, but what they do, what retailers do, you should be mad at the retailers too. You should be mad at everybody here. That's my point. Because they're going to say, oh, that beer that used to cost you $8 now costs you $9.50. When really they only had a 0.6 cents increase, but they're going to get you for $1.50 extra and blame the government and turn your ire to the government as well. When we've
I'm okay with that.
These taxes for a long time.
My anger will sit much better with
the government
than the pub that I go to on the
corner. Than Moose Winooski's.
Yeah.
I know. Fascinating.
Here's the thing.
Because this will work. Like people, hang on. But people will look at this and they'll go, that's the government for me, the one that decides that they're going to keep my beer cheap. Forget healthcare. Forget all the other stuff. It's beer. I mean, and the fucking crazy part is
it
Ontario
works.
Government, yeah, they're literally ahead in the polls again because they promised to get people booze in corner stores. It's fucking wild. It's awesome to watch. It's awesome. It's awesome. It's because like one of those little sin things. It's right into people's lives. It works.
But that's the world that we live in. Right? Like, and that's the reason why we're gonna have a new government soon, Dean.
Yeah, we might.
Right? Like the messaging from the Conservative Party, whether you like them
stupid,
or not.
Though? But does that mean we're entirely stupid?
Yes, Trudeau got in because he had nicer hair.
That's true. Well, and Stephen Harper was also a gigantic cock, so there was that too.
But he also ran out of runway again, right? We vote people in because of these. Trudeau got in because he promised to legalize weed.
Okay, but think about it. I don't want to talk about Trudeau, but I want to talk about this as a microcosm. Nice hair, sure. People are stupid. Conservatives are literally running away with it in this country.
Yes,
over alcohol.
Because of the mistakes that the Liberal Party has made and the gaslighting and the talking down to people.
Sure. Right? Alcohol.
Booze. We're done with them.
Cheap booze. Everybody's like, that's the guy for me.
Look how mad Moose is. Look how mad Moose is.
Moose is so unwell, right? Moose is very unwell. Look how mad Moose is. Does it really matter what Moose is?
Okay.
He thinks the Chinese army's at the end of his driveway. And he's going to scare the army away. I'm not taking Moose's advice for anything. Sorry, Pat. I didn't mean to interrupt.
Listen, no, it's fine. Listen, Moose, if you end up watching this, I've been to your town. There's no Chinese up there. It's very white. It's very white.
Hang on a second, though. Are you sure?
We're to the point where we're going to lose this country. And the further this government gets entrenched, the worst it's going to be for us, guys.
Why do I love him so much? I laughed at that video like all weekend, by the way. It's just too funny to me.
I love Moose. Okay. I have a question for you. We can move on from there. I had somebody reach out to me, a locker room fan, and his name is Darren. And Darren had a really good idea. And I want people to... And I'm going to tell a story. I'm going to tell a little story about young Lachlan that makes me a little bit worried about Darren's idea.
Do you want Do you want some background music for this bad boy?
Yeah, sure. Storytelling music.
See if it works. Might as well. Might as well worry.
There you go. Okay. When I was a kid, we moved around a lot, right? My mom, single mom, raising two kids, and so she sort of followed the money. And when you move around a lot, you don't necessarily get really settled into one place or another, right? And it's hard to make friends. So my mom decides that she's going to help me because she knows that I don't have a lot of friends. I wish she would have sat me down and asked me whether or not I cared about that, because even at a young age, I wasn't too bothered by it. But she says to me, she says, we're going to have a party for you, Locke. And this is rare because my mom wasn't a big party thrower. Like I had a weird childhood, and I love my mom, but she was just trying to get by. She got pregnant at 15. 2 months into her 16th year, she has a bouncing baby boy, Lachlan, right? Not that long after that, the man that knocked her up, he leaves her by herself. So there, I have no qualms about how my mother raised me. If anything,
that explains you eating all those gravel brownies and growing up in the back of a
plus
bus.
I have a lot of Lock got dosed stories. There's more than a couple of those stories. I don't even think I've
told
them. That
explains you growing up in a teepee and shooting your own dinner. Continue. Sorry.
So anyway, I think it was my grade 8 year. How old are you? You're turning 12 or 13 or something like
14.
That?
14. 14.
Yeah, it might have been my grade 7 year. So I was in 13. I was in junior high. She makes a little thing up. She says, take this to school and give this to all your classmates. We're going to have a party for you on whatever day.
Sure.
And I did that. And one dick showed up. Scott and I wore the same pants. Remember those pants with the drawstring?
Why am I so sad for you right now?
So I invited half the damn school. And it was Scott and I eating hot dogs by ourselves at my grandma's campground in Castlegar. Now, I have always had a bit of a concern about throwing gatherings because I'm always worried one dick's going to show up. But I thought I would bounce it off of you. Do you think I should throw a Lock got shit? I told everybody I would move on. But I kind of liked the idea of throwing a Lock got shit canned party somewhere in town.
I can't. I'm sorry. I'm trying to get over. Like, I'm crying, laughing. I'm trying to get over this incredibly sad story you just told about how your mom tried to go get you friends when you were 13. She invited the entire school with fake invitations to come to your party, and one person showed up. Dude, I can't decide if I want to hug you or hang up. I don't know if
that's
I love you.
That's a true story. And that sums me up, right? That's been my existence.
Okay, let's
on this planet
deal with it today. Invite PTSD, obviously. One person party invited. I think you do it. I think you do it because you've had how many people have reached out to you since you were fired from your former radio station?
It's unbelievable.
Like thousands, yeah, right? You've had thousands of people DM you, tweet you, text you.
Yeah.
So I got fired party when I left The Edge, and we sold out Sound Academy, which is like 3,000 people. And it
I'm not getting 3,000 people.
It financially wasn't terrible. I think you do it. I think you do it because you want to say thank you to all these people that sustained you for a long time, right? I think you want to. I don't think you want to do it, and I don't think you want to do it for you. I think you want to do it and thank people for 9 years of loyal listenership. You want to thank people for, you know, loving you so much that they showed up with baked goods that you couldn't eat because you didn't trust them. You want to thank
them. No, I ate all those baked goods.
Oh, I did. I would never eat listener food. It was what? Just always like, no. Oh, fuck no.
You and I will never agree on that. Someone bakes something, brings it down. I'm taking a chance.
No. No, I'm not. Yeah. It's not a chance. Here's some baked goods I made for you. I didn't like you for a long time, but I do now. So eat these right in front of me, and I want to watch what happens.
I just fed my family like 2 weekends ago. Somebody made me a loaf of bread.
Yeah.
Well, and we had French toast on a Sunday morning, and I fed the whole family.
Attaboy. Yeah. That's probably why
everyone's
you got
fine.
Ill after. Okay. Sure. But I think that's what you want to do. I think you want to, like, you know, you had so many people that you fed into their lives for like a decade, and they appreciated you, but they also, you know, listened to you in increasing numbers and gave you the paycheck that you had, right? Like, you're only as good as the people that you can bring with you. So, yeah, I got fired, or, you know, say goodbye, caring for radio. I think a great thing you could do too, to send a message to everybody in the business that if they want to hire you, they're going to have to pay you. That's, I mean, there's lots of things you should do. It. You should throw a party. Just have someone else invite everyone, not you, because that doesn't work apparently.
Yeah. I am worried that Scott's going to show up and Trevor, the guy that still makes acid in his garage. Just do be it, me dude. And Scott and Trevor.
Do it. Just have a party. Just say thanks, dude. You know people with bars,
that's
right?
A good idea.
Have it at a bar. Invite everybody. Yeah. First come, first serve. Partner with a liquor company. Have them do all the booze. Yeah, dude, I'll help you with it. I'm not coming, though.
I know. You very rarely leave your house, and I'm okay with that. Yeah, we're very similar in that regard. Okay, you know what?
Safest place.
I think I'm going to work on it.
All right. There you go. Look for that. The I Got Fired, thank you so much, radio retirement party from Lachlan Cross coming to Cryer
Scott,
Media
if you're listening, you're invited. Scott. Wear khakis.
It's so sad for you, dude. I really do.
Can I tell you one quick Scott story?
Sure.
So he gets on the bus. This is my only friend in junior high, Scott.
Yeah, right.
And he gets on the bus and he sits down. He's not really talking. And I look over at him and I'm like, hey, are we going? Like we had plans to do something on the weekend. And I said, hey, are we doing this? And I can't even remember what the hell it was. But he looks over at me and he goes, no, I can't. I'm in trouble. I'm grounded. I'm like, what'd you do? He goes, I burnt the shed down. So he was supposed to mow the lawn and the lawnmower ran out of gas. And he went to the shed and I don't know what he did, but he basically dragged gas, leaked gas all the way to the middle of the lawn. And then I don't know why, but Scott was a little weird. He was messing around with fire, but I think he was going to burn like an anthill or something like this, if I remember correctly. And so he lit the ant fire on, and then the gas can with the leak in it went all the way to the shed, lit the shed on fire.
Poor guy. And he got grounded.
And that was the kind of friend I had, a little fire bug, right? That's Locke as a kid.
We need to, you got to change the name of this party from the I Retired Party to Locke Needs Friends Party.
Locke Needs Friends Party. I'm not adverse to that.
I think you should. You really get over the PTSD from that time that only one guy showed up to your 13th birthday party. I feel terrible.
He was my
13th. For you still. Yeah, I know. I feel bad for you.
All right, bud.
I'll come to your 55th. That's the only thing I'm coming to. One.
My wife's trying to get me to come to Toronto to hang out with you now that I got time off.
For your 55th or in general?
In general.
Your wife's trying to get you to come here to stay away from her? That is not a great sign, like a weekend.
No.
Being at home for
good. She was like, you should go hang out with Dean.
Yeah, 100% you should. Yeah.
That Zach Bryan show is on March 17th.
Yeah, we're going.
Yeah. So maybe I haven't got tickets yet. Have we
got
tickets?
There you go. I got tickets for us. Yeah. I've got it.
Okay.
I got it.
All right.
I got us.
Don't lie to me.
I'm not.
Because if I go buy tickets and then I show up and we don't have tickets.
No, we'll talk about it off the podcast.
That would be like worse than my party with Scott.
No, I don't. Yeah. I can do that to you. Anyway, good to see you.
All right, my friend.
Hang on a second. I think we got Blue Jacket guy.
I don't know how my name popped up as Lachlan Cross. I just jumped in to check out some stuff, and here you guys are.
Give like, I was watching your show this morning. You had like 1,000 people watching your show.
Yeah, live. We've never had that many in a live event. I was like, holy crap! So yeah.
Are you showing your wiener? Hey, are you a Rain Wolf fan? I love that guy.
Love that guy.
Oh my god, he is so good.
Dude, I saw him live in Montreal in 2019.
He's a Saskatchewan boy.
Oh, yeah. That's right. And he's mind-blowing. Mind-blowing live. You'll never
have you seen this guy, Dean?
No, never heard of him. I'm finding out about Rain Wolf for the first time.
You got to put him into your Spotify today and blues? Have a listen what to him. It's blues. It's It's kind of like Gary Clark Jr. meets Hendrix meets
in
Zeppelin
in
meets.
Yeah. Look for a little Ben Harper-ish. Live. Are you satisfied live?
He's playing. Ringwolf, are you satisfied live? Is it iTunes? YouTube? Yeah. What are we doing? Where am I getting it? Anywhere?
On the YouTube.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
It'll blow your mind. This kid, it's pouring rain and he's singing and playing his heart out.
And he's a Saskatchewan kid.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dude, he's insane. You know what, man? Like, if he would have released records in the 90s, he would have been massive.
Massive.
But he hit a bad time. He hit right when rock radio stopped playing new music, right?
Basically.
So he was like 2008, 2009, 2010 is when he started to sort of get his legs underneath of him. Paul?
Yeah. Yeah. About that time. Yeah. And he relocated to Austin, Texas, which is where Black Pistol Fire, two guys from Toronto, relocated. They're also
in Austin. I love those guys too. Yeah. They're unbelievable.
I've seen them live as well. Blew my mind. I've seen hundreds upon hundreds of live concerts. I've seen the biggest names and the smallest names, and the best live show I've ever seen in my life to this day is Rainwolf in Montreal.
Really?
Oh yeah.
This kid's amazing, Dean.
Yeah.
Dude, I'm looking at some of his stuff on YouTube and just pictures him, and there are like thousands of people. I can't believe I've never heard of this dude. There's him and like with thousands of people in Seattle, Washington.
That's where radio's at. Radio used to break bands like this, right? Yeah. And they're just like rock radio just stopped.
Don't give a shit.
No.
What a shame. I'm just looking.
By the way, Paul, you're invited to Locke Needs Friends party slash retirement slash shit can party.
He's throwing a party for himself because he feels bad that he got fired and he wants to say thank you to people, or at the very least, that's the narrative we could come up with for him to be able to throw a party for himself to get drunk with all his old listeners to say thank you and goodbye. So that's what he's doing. Yeah.
I mean, count me in.
And he's a little nervous, Paul, because last time he threw a party for himself, he was 13 and one person came and he invited 200 people. So he's a little nervous because he's got PTSD from, being that kid, being that guy.
Well, listen, on the 16th of March, you know how we do a monthly podcast, right?
Yeah.
So this year, because it's St. Patrick's Day is on a Sunday, the 16th is a Saturday, which is when we wanted to do it. Because, like, no, we're not going to be able to get in the pub. And schedule-wise, that's the only opening Douglas has. So we're going to do a virtual pubcast. So I'm going to change my green screen background to the pub.
Yeah.
Douglas will do the same. I'll be here in my studio, he'll be in his. It's going to start at 4 p.m. on the 16th, around 4 p.m. on the 16th of March. So 2 p.m. Mountain Time, Locke. If you want to join us, I'll send you the link. We don't talk politics on the pubcast, eh? It's just rock and roll, parties, stories, places we've been, trips we've had, drunken moments in time.
Oh, I'm in. I can talk about being drunk. I figured you might
be interested. Yeah, and like zero politics. Zero politics.
I'm in. I can talk about being drunk all day. Drunk a few times. Might even join you for that one too, and talk about the last 24 times I was drunk.
Mm.
It was in one week.
A few years though, eh? It's been a few years.
Yeah, I remember. There's one day I got drunk four times. I mean, you can't. You need to be a professional to do that.
Wow,
that's a true story. I got drunk four times. Start drinking at 7 o'clock in the morning because you're hungover. You get too drunk. It's like 9 o'clock. You sleep. You wake up at 11:30. You got a headache. You're like, the only way out of this is right back in. And you have another couple of seizures. You're like, I'm ham-boned again. And then, so
by the way,
it's now noon.
Can
the day is yours. You can do that two more times. Yeah, I've got legendary drinking records. We should talk about.
Can we just talk about the beautiful thing about breakfast Caesars? Like, you know what? Listen, it doesn't work like on a Tuesday. Like if you're downstairs mixing a Caesar on a Tuesday and your wife comes down and catches you, it's a little rough. But if she comes down after a shift on a Saturday, right? Mm. And she sees you mixing a Caesar, you're like, it's Sunday. This is a breakfast drink.
Yeah. Right? You got a pepperoni in it. Yeah. It's a cocktail, honey. It's not, I don't have a problem. It's Sunday.
It's Sunday.
But that's the only way back in. And I'll tell you something, that was the last like time I got drunk. It was on Caesars and it was 6 o'clock in the morning.
Oh God.
That's when you know you got a problem. Cause it was not so a problem. Hungover.
That is not a problem. Caesars are a hungover breakfast drink.
No, they're not. They're terrible for you. This just, especially when I was pouring them. Oh. Had a bottle of Finlandia vodka next to me and some V8, and I was just
Caesars are a four-finger drink too. You want to be
how many
able to
times have you ever fire. Measured a drink? That's the other thing, eh? When you're like a big drinker, you're like, nobody has shot glasses, nobody measures those ounces. Right?
I have those in my cupboard. There's so much dust on them.
Yeah, you never
it's just eyeball it.
They're stuck to the cupboard.
Yeah. Yeah, you can't move them because they've been there. No one measures. It's like, I've had one.
That's two, three.
I had one drink tonight. Yeah, but you poured like 8 ounces of alcohol into a pint glass. Yeah, but I had one drink.
There's only one drink. Yeah.
Yeah, by the way, that was me. So I wonder why I don't drink anymore. Anyway, good to see you. So, Paul, we'll get together with you on the 16th for the podcast. We'll do that together. Congratulations on the big numbers this morning. It was a great show, by the way, The Con Thank Lies. You. We're going to cover that in the podcast tomorrow. So maybe we'll see if we can grab you for that.
Yeah,
and talk about Frank Caputo's big week.
Jesus Christ almighty.
Where it's like it's honest to God, it's like an insult to intelligence of Canadians. Politics is an insult to the intelligence of people in this country at this point.
We just can't get over it. I mean, it's one thing after another, one lie after another upon another upon. It's like, guys, they're easily disprovable lies.
Like in 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I came face to face with Paul Bernardo. They are raising our alcohol taxes.
Yeah.
Yes. It's 0.6 cents per can of beer.
Well, he's raising it. Yeah.
They're raising
it. It's not even a penny.
They're
not even a penny, dude.
Okay. All right.
It's less than a penny.
Okay. We'll get you back. We'll do this. Paul, you're on the show with us tomorrow now, 9 o'clock, right after you finish up. You're going to join us for the show. Paul.
Sounds good.
Yeah. You're
very destroying this country.
No,
they're destroying this country. I'm leaving. You're invited to my party.
Paulie, thanks, boys. We'll talk to you soon. Paul Lachlan, have a great day, everybody. Appreciate you being part of the show. As always, we're brought to you by our friends at factcheck.io. FactCheck is a disinformation killer. Get on the beta test team today. Join them at factcheck.io, factcheck.io. Do you believe what you read, what you see, what you consume? It's never been more important to be sure that what you're reading and consuming is accurate, is truthful. It's not being misrepresented to curate some kind of narrative for assholes. So FactCheck is a group of scientists, psychologists, and journalists that have got together to bring you the most comprehensive fact-checking software in the world. And I'm being serious because I played with the actual beta test the other day. Here's the thing. There are fact-checking services that will check information. There are fact-checking services that will see if whether or not the social media account that is purporting something is real or inorganic. This combines both. Plus, it cures the entire epistemology behind a story, narrative, or social media post or news story. And then it gives you accurate sources to be able to share with people to correct the conversation. Join it now and believe now by joining the Fact Check beta team. You can also support me. There's a GoFundMe for that as well. If you want to support the good people at Fact Check, FactCheck, building this free software tool, you can do that. Go to factcheck.io for more details. Join the beta team and donate or support any way you can. It is coming and it will kill disinformation online. So join the beta test team today. You can say you were first. Also, thanks to our friends at CanTorque. They make rugged, hardworking torque wrenches, and they make this show possible as well. Colin and his group are 20 years of unparalleled expertise making some of the greatest torque wrenches and industrial torque tools in the world right here in Canada. Edmonton, Alberta, they got a brand new website. You can check out all their products, services, all wrench industry and the industrial tooling industry. They make tools. They calibrate tools. They service tools. And they distribute tools, and they've got opportunities for you to be one of their distributors as well. If you're looking for a job, you're familiar with the tool industry, go to cantorque.com today for more information. Listen, these 20 years of unparalleled expertise doing torque wrenches for heavy industry around the world. It could be steel, it could be railroad, it could be nuclear, it could be forestry, it doesn't matter. Colin and his group are the best, and they've got absolute expertise and 20 years of reliability. You can trust they're a one-stop shop, so check them out today. Also brought to you by the Muse on the Mic podcast. Go to Muse on the Mic today. If you want to learn about the sex work industry and advocates for the sex work industry, sexologists in the sex work industry, Emily and Riley take you on a ride. Muse on the Mic is the name of us. They've got a free version at YouTube, Muse on the Mic YouTube. You can also go to Muse on the Mic on their Patreon channel, download and subscribe to those channels as well. And you can go to Muse, MuseMassageSpa.com, 1290 Finch Avenue West, Toronto, Ontario, Canada, Unit 13. Give them a call as well, 416-739-6668. Tell Emily I said hi. And go and download their pod. Go and experience a session with the ladies and make sure you get Emily and Riley into your life. They're lovely ladies. Also brought to you by Gitch. Our show is brought to you by Ed's Fine Imports and his luxury branded underwear called Gitch, G-I-T-C-H. 3 is your promo code at checkout. Buy 3, get 1 free. They got 4 packs, which you can get for the price of 3. They got singles, where you can get 3 of those, and then you get a free one when you use promo code Gitch3. Luxury boxer briefs are the best in the world. I swear to God, this dude like knocked it out of the park with his underwear. I'm really finicky when it comes to the kind of underwear that I like to buy. Boxer briefs has to be boxer briefs, has to have the pouch in the front, has to be moist. Wicking has to be barely their fabric. These guys nailed it. So go to edsfineimports.com, order a pair of Gitch, in fact, 4, and only pay for 3 with promo code Gitch3 today. Also, another 15% off your entire purchase when you give him his email address. So there you have it. Have a great day, everybody. See you tomorrow on this very program with Paul and Lachlan yet again. What a great day. Have a good one. See you tomorrow.
Do, Did, Will, the Story of People podcast is now available on the Crier Media Network. The first 5 episodes are here and feature some incredible guests that fit into one or all 3 of those categories. Ready? Tara Sloan from the San Jose Sharks, Undercurrent podcast at NBC Sports. Marianne Iveson from Iveson Voice and the Let's Take This Outside podcast to talk about the world of outdoors as well as voiceover land. Ariana Hunsicker, future Canadian Paralympic swimmer, already winning tons of awards for this country. Scott McGregor from the Hot Wallet podcast to dumb down the world of crypto, Bitcoin, and NFTs so you don't have to. And Jackie Holowaty from Climate Pledge Arena in Seattle, Washington, the first net zero carbon certified arena on the planet. Wherever you get your pods, wherever you watch your pods, and on the Crier Media Network.
I'm Andrea Askowitz.
And I'm Allison Langer. And we are the hosts of Writing Class Radio, a podcast, but we are so much more. We have writing classes. So if you are looking for live online classes where you can join a community, write to a prompt, get feedback, and get better, check out all our classes at writingclassradio.com. And listen to our podcast wherever you get your podcasts and at writingclassradio.com.